Grace was here, I think, 3 seasons ago and gave a wonderful performance, and a number of people had encouraged us to have her back again, and I was delighted to oblige. She was a wonderful guest last time, and I know she's going to have a great program for us again.
Domenico Scarlatti is in fashion, which is terrific.
It's such a great way to open a program. It's such engaging music, and to be honest, of all of the harpsichord works that are transcribed to the piano, I think Scarlatti's music fits the modern piano the best.
I know we've talked about this before, but because it's interesting, I mentioned that he was the teacher to the princess and then later Queen of Spain, Maria Barbara.
That's right, and she's actually responsible for collecting many of these works. They were originally written under the title of Esercizi, or Exercises, and Scarlatti wrote them for the princess to play, and she, you know, was instrumental in collecting and preserving many of these works.
Obviously, any royal personage is removed from the people that they rule. And I was wondering, and you can disagree with this, but so much is said about Scarlatti and how he's brought in the music of the people and the sounds of the culture that of Spain. It seems like this was, amongst other things, a way for the queen to hear what was going on in her empire.
I think that's probably true, and so much of Scarlatti's music is infused with dance rhythms, and dancing, you know, social dancing and dancing at court was such a prominent part of the activities, you know, and part of the social graces at that time, and I think he had a way of sort of very useful function in bringing that into the palaces. Marc-André Amelon is a brilliant pianist. He was born in Montreal in 1961. He's known for his incredible technical prowess, and he wrote a set of 12 piano etudes, all of them in minor keys, and each of the etudes in the set are patterned after or sort of pay homage to a particular composer or performer or musician. And this homage to Scarlatti is number 6 in his set of etudes. So very recent work, definitely contemporary idiom, but I think everybody in the audience will have an easy time hearing links back to the Scarlatti styles that Grace opened with.
Then a piece by Beethoven, the 15 Variations and Fugue in E flat major, the Eroica Variations. Later, Beethoven used the theme in his Third Symphony.
Actually, it first appeared in the Prometheus Ballet. He set out to write a new style of variations, and with this particular work, it's a much larger set of variations than he had written previously. And he experimented with the way he dealt with the theme. He actually opens the work with only the bass line of the main theme and does 3 variations of that bass line before you actually hear the main melody coming in. This process of presenting variations of that bass line actually goes back to the connections of the appearance of this tune in Prometheus, where he has the bass line sort of symbolizes the gradual creation of life forms by Prometheus as it evolves a little bit. Kind of a neat connection. It's interesting, I think, that it was written in 1802, which is the same year that Beethoven spent the summer in Heiligenstadt, that beautiful country resort.
And he wrote his testament.
That's right, his kind of last will and testament, where he was struggling to come to terms with his deafness. And in October of that year, he sends this copy of the Eroica Variations off to his publisher. And the thing that's so remarkable is that a work that's this joyous and exuberant and really infused with Beethoven's incredible and sort of a hearty, robust sense of humor throughout was written during such a dark time in his life. Mm-hmm. I just think it's
and
fascinating.
That's sort of a theme that's in the Testament, is that he's perceived as being this dark and brooding fellow, but he says that he's always been someone who's seen the beauty in life.
And he talked about being forced to recede from society because of his deafness, but really wishing he could be with people and spend more time with people.
Mm-hmm. And longing for the time and the ability to write the music that was inside of him, which fortunately he had another 24 years.
He actually described thoughts of suicide in the Testament and thought better of it because he had so much yet to say in his art.
He also inspired Schumann's Fantasy in C major.
Schumann seems to have had a dual purpose in composing the Fantasy. In March of 1838, during one of the separations forced by Clara's father, Robert wrote to his beloved Clara that the first movement of this Fantasy was the most passionate thing that he had ever composed, and that it was a profound lament on her account. Despite this powerful connection that the work has to Clara, apparently Schumann originally conceived the work as his contribution towards the cost of a monument honoring Beethoven that was being erected in Bonn. And that project was planned by Franz Liszt, and Schumann must have kept Beethoven in mind as he was writing it, because in the first movement of the piece there's a quote from Beethoven's song cycle, "To the Distant Beloved." And now that, again, kind of probably ties back into Clara, who was far removed from him during that time, and he was feeling lonely and so forth. The Fantasy is an incredibly expressive piece. It's extraordinarily pianistic and certainly an appropriate tribute to Clara, who was certainly one of the greatest virtuoso pianists of the age and most certainly one of the first women to gain significant fame as a concert pianist. And from a pianist's point of view, the second movement of the Fantasy is one of the most notorious things in the repertoire. It has a fiercely difficult coda where Schumann sets a very angular melody full of these treacherous leaps as you're breaking these chords. It's a passage that gives every pianist nightmares before they have to play it. It sounds incredible when you hit the leaps, and when you miss the leaps, can be a disaster, but I'm sure Grace is going to nail every one of them. Terrifying for the pianist, but incredibly exciting for the audience, as you see the pianist really lay it on the line.
And Grace will be here. She's the one having the nightmares now, worrying about that.
I don't think she's worried too much about it, actually.
I've been talking with Morningside College Professor of Music, Dr. James March. Grace Yoon-hae Kim's recital is this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in Epley Auditorium. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Mark Munger.